You've heard for decades now about the general change in agriculture. It takes many fewer farmers and farmhands to produce crops and other farm products. Big companies and big machines are in the business in a big way. And now that the median age is rising in America, farmers are also getting grayer. Programs like FFA and 4-H have worked for decades to get younger people into farming, and they have company, programs like Farm Corps. We have two guests from Farm Corps programs with us. Stuart O'Neill is with the Rogue Farm Corps, where he's the executive director. He's in the studio with me here. Stuart, welcome.
Thanks, Jeff.
Good to have you here. Katie Giambellini joins us by phone. She's with the Southern Willamette Farm Corps and Cascade Pacific as program coordinator. Katie, welcome.
Good to be here.
So tell us, Katie, about your particular role, because you're Southern Willamette Farm Corps and Cascade Pacific. Can you divide those out for us?
Yeah, so I am the program coordinator for the Southern Willamette Farm Corps, which is housed at Cascade Pacific Resource Conservation and Development. So they are the people funding my position for the program.
Okay. And Stuart, give us just a general run of Farm Corps and what it's about.
Sure. We are an educational nonprofit with a mission of training the next generation of farmers and ranchers. The organization was founded in about 2004 by a community of farmers in the Little Applegate Valley who recognized the need to train young farmers. We're living in a time where the average age of farmers is approaching 60. Less than 1% of the population is engaged in agriculture as a career. And the USDA estimates that about 60% of the current farmers today lack a plan for what to do with their property when they retire. So we all see a looming crisis in our farm community. At the same time, we're seeing a resurgence of interest in local foods, people wanting to know where their food comes from, and relocalizing our food system. And so this organization serves that purpose. We're placing young people, predominantly young people in their 20s and 30s, with host farmers for an entire season through our Farms Next program, and working with these dedicated mentors to train the next generation of farmers.
So how does what you do differ from Future Farmers of America, which I guess doesn't go by the name anymore, just FFA, 4-H, et cetera, other programs to make sure that young people, and we're talking high school and on down,
right,
get involved in agriculture?
Well, our program is a hands-on, full immersion training program. Our Farms Next program takes students for about 8 or 9 months. They live and work full-time on a host farm, and they learn the ins and outs of that experience from the host farmer. In addition, we have a set of classroom experiences that the students get, and independent study projects and the like. So our program really is meant to offer young people a real-world experience of what farming may be like.
Katie Giambellini, when Stuart was talking a moment ago about fewer than 1% of the population involved in agriculture and the median age approaching 60, I mean, I assume some of these farmers had children. Are they generally not going into their parents' business, though?
Yeah, I think we are seeing a lot of people, going and doing finding other opportunities off the farm because, I mean, farming is hard work. But at the same time, we're seeing a resurgence of, like Stu said, young people interested in farming. And we do see farmers who have children, they go off and then they come back to the farm. I've met several people recently that are kind of took their time away from the farm and are now coming back to it.
When your second sentence in that statement was farming is hard work, what do you say to get people attracted to agriculture, Katie?
I mean, while it's hard work, it is some of the most rewarding work that you can do. You're feeding people food. Everybody needs to eat. And it's also a very independent work. You control your work schedule to some degree, and you have ownership of what you're doing. So I think those are very attractive pieces to farming because it's so critical to life.
When you compare notes with Stuart, for example, I just wonder how different the situation might be in the Willamette Valley, given that it's a much broader valley with a lot more farming activity going on, traditional row crop kind of stuff.
Yeah, there is. There's definitely a mix of really large-scale production farms as well as these smaller, more family-size farms. And we are focused in the southern Willamette Valley, just because the geographical range of the whole Willamette Valley is rather large.
All right, we're talking about agriculture and trying to attract new people into the business with Stuart O'Neill and Katie Giambellini from Farm Corps. Stuart's with the Rogue Farm Corps, Katie Giambellini with the Southern Willamette Farm Corps. If you can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange about the future of agriculture and getting people interested in being part of that future, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, email address jx@jeffnet.org. So what are the benefits that you tout, Stuart O'Neill? I mean, once you get past the hard work part, which I think everybody's aware of about agriculture, what are the real benefits on a day-to-day basis that people get from farming?
Well, they are serving their community food. And again, I think that's really the ultimate reward. As Katie mentioned, we're living in a time when, like I said, the local food movement is growing. People are really concerned about where their food comes from, and the farmers that we work with have a direct relationship with their customers. They see them every day at farmers market. They meet with them. They talk to them. They welcome their customers to the farm to visit. And I think we're creating a relationship between what people eat and who grows their food, and I think that's really important in the world that we live in right now.
Which raises the question then, if through programs like Farms Next, if you're teaching skills in addition to traditional agriculture skills, you mentioned classroom stuff, but now that there is this push with programs that are not directly in agriculture, but certainly assisting farmers like Thrive in the Rogue Valley, yeah. Preaching the get to know your farmer, get to know who grows your food aspect of things, do you have to teach things like marketing skills and customer service and a lot of that stuff that wasn't necessarily part of farming before?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The modern farmer has to be more than a jack of all trades agriculturally. They have to be a good business person and a good marketer. We're very excited about the launching of our advanced training program that we're calling our Farms Now program. It's going to launch as a pilot program here in the Applegate Valley in the coming farming season. And it's going to be a two-year advanced level training, bringing student with a little bit of experience into the farm, and they're going to really learn how to master the art of farming and the business of farming together. So, you know, we really do need to teach people all the skills, well-rounded people, so they can be successful business owners.
Given how busy people can be on a farm, I mean, how much time do the farmers have to spend side by side with the workers?
Sure. Well, this is a mission-driven organization, and we work with mission-driven farmers. The farmers that we work with, pretty much all of them did not grow up on a farm. Most of them are from urban and suburban backgrounds. And that's typically the type of student that we're finding as well. Again, there's very few people that, like I said, that are engaged in agriculture as a career right now. And each of our host farmers can point to at least one, if not more than one, mentor in their life that really helped them get on the path to becoming a successful farmer and a successful business owner. And so they're just giving back. They see the need. They want to see a relocalization of our food system. They really believe in this movement, and they want to contribute and give back. And so this is their way of doing it. They're willing to work with and engage with these young people and show them the ropes.
Katie Giambellini, what are the interests that the students have coming in? Are there particular kinds of agriculture they prefer to get involved in? What are the things that are drawing people to the Farm Corps programs?
Well, it's a wide range of interests. One of our farms that are participating this year just does mixed species rotational grazing. So folks that are interested in animal husbandry would lean towards that farm. We have another farm that does just diversified vegetable production. And then we have farms that do both, and they do a more whole system sort of animal livestock as well as vegetable production. So we definitely have a wide range of farms that participate in the program because students' interests are wide-ranging. And through the classrooms that we have during the growing season, students are exposed to a lot of different farms because there's so many different types of agriculture going on.
Are there ranges in farm sizes as well? I mean, is there a good mix of big and small?
Well, that's relative. There is, like, some farms that are doing, like, 10 acres of vegetable production. Other farms are up to, like, 300 acres, but those are more of the livestock farms. So it's, in terms of farm size in the bigger sense, these are all relatively small farms, but there is some variation.
All right. Is there any provision then to teach, Stuart, some of the larger scale farming, the highly mechanized farms and all that stuff? I mean, this has certainly been the recent history of farming. Is it likely to extend that way in the future? Are we talking about smaller farms and smaller groups of people running them.
We're talking about smaller farms and smaller groups of people working on them. We're talking about more and more people farming for their local community. Typically, the way agriculture is structured today, it's large-scale mechanized operations for a global marketplace. We're talking about smaller, more diversified operations for a local marketplace. That's what the consumers are starting to demand, and that's what the farmers are starting to provide, and I think it will be a benefit for our community at large if we can move in that direction.
And are we generally talking about organic farming, Stuart?
Well, we do not require that our host farms are certified organic under the USDA's certification program, but we do expect organic practices.
All right, so they have to be fairly friendly to the earth anyway. And what are in the rogue farm core? What are some of the kinds of farming that are going on? Are we talking about just animals, orchards, mix of everything? What?
Well, our host farms this year are a mixture, much like what Katie was saying. We've got a small scale dairy operation in our program this coming season by George Farm in the Applegate Valley. We've got Barking Moon Farm, which is a diversified vegetable operation. Dancing Bear Farm is a vegetable and seed production farm. And Oshawa Farm focuses predominantly on medicinal herbs for teas and medicine. So those are our host sites. In addition to that, we have a whole network of affiliated farms that we run classes and tours on. And it is a wide variety of animal and vegetable and seed production farms.
We're talking to the folks from Farm Corps, both in the Rogue Valley and in the Southern Willamette Valley, about programs to get people interested in agriculture as a line of work into the future to stem the tide of the graying of the American agriculture industry. You can join us here on The Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. We mentioned the classroom training a couple of times. What kinds of things are taught in the classroom, Stuart?
Well, we do a wide variety of topics, anywhere from how to run a greenhouse to how to transplant vegetables to poultry production and management and grazing systems on through the business and marketing. We do an introductory business and marketing class for our first-year students. And again, the idea here is that a student is part of a cohort. This community of students comes together two to three times a month for a classroom experience. They get to visit with new farms that they're not currently working on or hosted by, and it helps give them a more well-rounded experience. So instead of just living and working full-time on one particular operation, they get at least to visit with a number of other farmers in our community and see a wider variety of operations. Again, these are predominantly young people with interest, very little experience, maybe a little bit of experience. They're really trying to check this out to see if this is a career path for them or not. And we want to give them as much exposure to our farming community as possible.
Katie Giambellini, do you find a particular range of interests that usually accompany the people who are getting involved in the programs, a particular line of work they thought they might have gone into and instead they're looking at agriculture?
Yeah, that is a very common story. We've already actually started receiving applications, and a lot of them are from people who have had experience in the workforce and then through volunteering or some sort of interact or just even shopping at the farmers market have some interaction with local food and gotten involved and want to pursue this idea of farm work because they found it so rewarding in their experience.
Let's take a call. We have Steve in Yreka, California on the line with Stuart O'Neill of Rogue Farm Corps, Katie Giambellini from the Southern Willamette Farm Corps. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks, Jeff, for your program. I'm a local farmer down here in Yreka. I've been doing it for about 4 years. I'm 63 years old. My wife passed away about 5 years ago from cancer. And after she passed, I read a book, Anti-Cancer. And it really opened my eyes to all of the preservatives and if you will, crap that's in the food in the stores and the corporations that are supplying all that food that are causing all of this stuff, besides all the other chemicals in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, it scared the heck out of me. She was sort of a sedentary type person. She worked at a desk and was a little overweight. And we were working on our diet. I've always been very active physically and sports-wise and all that stuff. So I think the body needs to generate energy to heat up the inner part of the body to get rid of these poisons if we are taking them in, but also just the exercise of heating the body up. And
is this why you're in farming? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm in farming for the revolution. I believe that we've got to get rid of these corporations that are killing us. And, you know, supplying fresh food to people and the exercise and the experience. You know, when I give somebody a fresh tomato and they say, God, it was so good, that's worth a lot of money to me, because really there's not a lot of money in farming unless you can get to a level. I've heard somebody down in Redding was making $70,000 off of 1 acre.
Uh-huh.
Well, if I could do, you know, 10,000 or 15,000 off my acre, you know, that would be okay. I'd like to grow it to a bigger size.
All right, let's get some responses here,
more
Steve.
Experience.
All right.
Anyway,
thanks for sharing the story. Appreciate it. So, Stuart, given the lack of money, the long hours, I mean, what is the sales pitch then? I mean, how do you attract people? Say, hey, look, here's what you're going to be up against realistically in farming, but you get great stuff out of it. What's the great stuff?
Sure. Well, I mean, honestly, we don't have to do a lot of sales pitching. We're having people basically, you know, beat down our door who are interested in learning farming from our mentors. So I think what the interest level is that people want a genuine experience. They want to give back to their community. They see this as a way of serving their community and having an honest day's work. And I think in our modern techno crazy world, this is a very attractive option to young people to work hard, to sweat, and at the end of the day, know that you can rest easy because you've done something good.
Katie Giambellini, about how many people have gone through the programs at the Southern Willamette Farm Corps?
We are actually piloting the Southern Willamette Farm Corps this growing season. So this is our pilot year. It's our first year. We have the three farms, Deck Family Farm, Organic Redneck, and Bergeron Demonstration Farm on board as our pilot farms, and we'll be accepting 5 interns total.
All right,
to start our year.
And how many people have been through the training programs at Rogue Farm Corps?
We've had about 100 students over the last 9 years come through our program.
Mm-hmm. And how many have stayed?
Well, we have 4 businesses owned and operated by RFC graduates here in the Rogue Valley right now, so I think that's a pretty good track record.
And are they paying tuition to get into this? Is this the way the program is supported?
Yeah, it's a tuition-based program. The host farms pay a fee to participate. We also receive grants and support from the community.
Stuart O'Neill is with the Rogue Farm Corps. He's the executive director. Katie Giambellini is with the Southern Willamette Farm Corps, where she's the program coordinator. Thank you both for joining us to talk about Farm Corps.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, good to have you on the Jefferson Exchange. That'll do it for Hour 1. Hour 2, Tim Manley will take some old fairy tales and mangle them good in his book, Alice in Tumblerland. That's next on the Jefferson Exchange.